Father God, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for everything that you've done in our midst, Father. Father, we thank you for everyone that's here today and everyone that's watching us online. We thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And Father God, we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. We thank you today as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word would not return void. But Father God, that that word would penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. But we thank you most of all that we'll take that word that brings forth life on the inside of us and go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival of this generation. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst today. But Father, we thank you. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But Father, we thank you also for your anointing that's present this morning. Your anointing that's here, that saturates us, that changes in an instant. We thank you, Father, that anointing is here this morning, and that anointing is all around us. Father God, we thank you for mom and dad. We thank you as they take a few weeks off for giving them strength and power and might. We thank you, Father, for refreshing them, and we thank you for everything that you're doing in their life. And we thank you for everything you are doing, everything you have done, both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Amen. Hope everyone's doing wonderful. All excited. We do want to welcome you that are watching us online. We're glad to have you. Rhema.tv on Facebook Live. We're, you know, it's just amazing how technology is, and wherever you are, you can be with us here at Rhema Bible Church here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Everyone here seems like they're so excited. Camp meeting went on this week, and you guys seem like you're real alive, obviously, for some reason. I don't know what it is, but you just don't seem super alive, but praise God. You know, sometimes our outward man might be a little tired, but on the inside, we're full of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now, I'm afraid to ask, you know, during camp meeting, I asked how many had read the Old Testament, but I'm reading from the New Testament this morning. I'm not sure how many have read. So I'm just going to go with one book. How many have actually read Acts, the book of Acts? All right, got a good number that have read the book of Acts. You should try the Old Testament sometime, but it's actually, you know, not bad, kind of. But over the book of Acts, as we know, it starts out in Acts chapter 1. You know, they go into upper room, and Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost falls upon them and had a wonderful time. Anyone read that in your Bible? All right, three or four of you? No. No, there's more than that. So, you know, so the Holy Ghost falls on them. And they're full of the Holy Ghost. So Acts chapter 3, after they were full of the Holy Ghost, we find some great things happening. You know, when you get full of the Holy Ghost, great things happen. You know, when you know you're full. You know, and when you come out of meetings like we just had, you know, you should be full of the Holy Ghost. You got a dose of the Holy Ghost every day. Every day. Acts chapter 3 is where we're going to read, starting with verse number 1. And I'm going to read this, and we're going to look at it like we always normally do. And then I'm going to show you some things the Lord showed me that I've never seen before. So, you know, that's just the way it is. All right, Acts chapter 3, verse number 1 says, "Now Peter and John went up together." I'm reading from the new King James, by the way. Went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. For some of you that want to know, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Just want to make sure that you know that, because I don't know why. I do want you to know that Peter and John were not going to minister in the temple. They were going to pray. They were not the ones that actually were doing the service. They were just being a part of the service. All right, I think that's kind of interesting. It's, no, they're basically no different than you coming to church this morning. So they were on their way to the temple to pray. And it says, "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb," so the guy had never walked, I want you to point that out, "was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful." So every day, this man was laid at the temple. So I imagine probably that Peter and John probably had walked by this guy before, more than likely. I mean, it wasn't the first time, because he was there every day. I mean, this is basically what he did for his job, if you want it so to speak, is he laid there, and the way he supported himself is he asked people that, you know, that walk into the temple if they would help him out and give him some money. But praise God, this was a certain day. This was a different day than each and every other day. This was the day that he was going to be healed. But anyway, it says, they laid him at the day called Beautiful to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look on us." So he gave him gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you." Now, you know, here's something that we don't ever think about. This man, at the point when Peter said, "I don't have any money," he could have turned his attention to something else. You know, you ever heard about being money-minded? Well, you know, obviously, if the way you support yourself is getting money for people, and this guy just said he don't have any money, you know, human nature says, "I'm going to find someone who does have money." There's other people coming into the temple, and they got money. So these poor guys can walk in the thing, and I'm going to leave them alone. But Peter was like, you know, "Hey, look at us for a moment. We don't have any money, but we do have something." You know, anyway, it says, and he took him by the right hand. Remember, they had just been filled with the Holy Ghost. All right. Said Peter and let me go back up verse 6. So then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." See, he commanded in the name of Jesus. He understood the power of the name of Jesus. And he says, and he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood up and walked and entered into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Remember, each and every day this guy was there. So everyone who went in the temple were used to seeing this guy sitting out there. And it says he was laid daily, you know, at the gate. So it's not like they hadn't seen him before. But remember, this man had never walked a day in his life. Now, you realize that, you know, anybody here have children or had children? I mean, well, you still have them, but, you know, they grew up, you know. But when children start out, they're babies. You know, some of you might have babies at home. And, you know, somebody, I'm talking about your kids, not your husband, you know. Anyway, you know, so babies, first of all, start to crawl. And then they go through a phase where they lift up on counters and on stuff, and then they start to kind of, you know, pull themselves around. But, you know, then sooner or later they start to walk. They don't go from just being born to walking. All right. Anyone ever broke a leg or injured, you know, injured your leg? You know, you go through time of rehabilitation just to be able to walk again. I know I was in a cast for 8 weeks. Well, after 8 weeks, I had to kind of learn, you know, to rewalk. You know, had to. But think about this. Here's a guy who had never walked. He'd seen people walk, and he was able to walk normally. You know, I mean, that's a miracle in itself. You know, his feet and ankle bones were you know, normal. But just because you have normal feet and ankle bones, I mean, you know, there's people who've never ridden the bicycle who can't ride a bicycle until they learn, and they're normal. All right, you know, it takes practice to learn to walk. I mean, I know you take it for granted. You know, you do it every day, but you know, you didn't whenever you were a little kid. Even when your feet and ankles could support yourself, you still couldn't walk because you didn't know how to. But this man walked into the temple. I mean, it was a great thing. But the big thing is, Peter and John had to know what they had. If they would have never known, but just because they knew what they had, many of us know what we have on the inside, but we don't do anything about what we have. Maybe because we're not full of the Holy Ghost. Or maybe because we're too tired. Or maybe because we're kind of ignoring everybody else around about us. Or maybe because we don't care. I don't know. You know, there's something about that day, because I'm assuming this guy had talked to Peter and John before. Something about that day when they asked for help, they knew that they were full of the Holy Ghost. And they're like, you know what? I can, you know, I don't really have any money, but I do have something. What do you have on the inside? Now, you know, it's also interesting if we keep going in verse number 11. It says, now as the lame man who was healed, who held on to Peter and John, all the people ran to them in the porch, which is called Solomon, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his son, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. So he said, you know what? This is not us. We didn't do anything. This man is walking because of Jesus, the same man that you just killed the other day, because it's only been a few days. That same man is the one who healed this man. And then he goes on to tell him about Jesus. Now you have to understand that Peter and John didn't do anything but just gave him Jesus. Now, you know, I've heard people, you know, tell their kids or tell whatever, you know, said, well, give them hell. But you know what? You need to give them Jesus. You don't give them hell, you give them Jesus. And the thing is it's not you, it's Jesus. Peter and John didn't heal this man. Because I've heard people say before, well, I would, you know, I just couldn't do that. Well, you know what? You're not supposed to do anything anyway. Jesus doesn't expect you to do anything but just give him Jesus. Just show him me. But see, that's what people full of the Holy Ghost do. They just show them Jesus. They just show people Jesus, you know, because they're excited about Jesus. You know, I know in life, my dad's always taught me that you need to give it everything you got. Now, he always says give it 110%. Everything you got and more. In fact, my son Cameron, he actually drove a race car for a gentleman in the... And the guy wouldn't tell us whenever we were putting everything together. He goes, I got a special number all picked out. He wouldn't tell anybody what it was. And it was 110%. That was Cameron's number. And so it was pretty cool. He goes, I never heard anybody else having that number on a race car. So that's what Cameron's number was, 110%. Give it all you have. Now, you know, as I was reading this the other day and talking about it, and it is awesome. You know, it does say that these signs will follow them that believe over in Mark chapter 16. And one of them is you should lay your hands, you know, lay your hands on people and they shall recover. So it shouldn't be abnormal for just people to pray for people and they're healed. I mean, this shouldn't be abnormal. This is part, you know, of the Holy Ghost, of knowing what we have. The thing is, you have to know what you have in order to give people Jesus. But here's what the Lord said while I was reading this. He says, is this all you have? Is this all you have? You know, because some people think, this is so great, this guy got healed. But you understand, we have more than healing on the inside. Now, many people, you know, say things to me about my love toward people. But see, what I have is I have the love of God set abroad in my heart. And to give people what I have is to give people love. And in fact, well, that verse I'm talking about... Is over in Hebrews. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5. And the New King James text says it this way. It says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. So one thing that we have to give people is the love of God. And you'll have more opportunities to give people the love of God than you will, you know, healing. On a daily basis, we should love people. no matter who they are. You know, over in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 16, you don't have to turn there. I have it here in my notes real quickly. It says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." You know, we abide in love. And we have the love of God on the inside. And we have a scripture. Remember the scripture? You that have read the New Testament. John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world." If God loves the world and the love of God abides in your heart, that means you love the world. You know, and sometimes when I think about people who are hurting, it makes me cry. And I understand how Jesus felt. But you know, I started thinking about it. The reason I understand is because I have that same love on the inside of me that Jesus had on the inside of him. You know, I understand, you know, whenever he looked at the people and began to weep, you know, and have compassion on them. You know, and we should have love and compassion on people because people are hurting in this world. We live in a lost and dying and hurting world, you know, and I think about it all the time when I go through certain situations. And I think, you know, what about the people who don't know Jesus and are going through the same situation? How are they going to make it? I know how I can make it. I know what the word says. You know, for any situation I go through, I know what the word says. You know, I might know how I might feel, but it doesn't matter what I feel. I know I can come against my feelings. I know what I believe. I know what the Bible says. I know the Bible says I am the head, not the tail. I am above and not beneath. The Bible says I'm a winner, not a loser. So don't act like a loser. I'm a winner. But you know, the Bible says to give people what we have, and what we have is the love of God. We might not have a lot of money, but we have love. We have compassion. We have mercy. You know, and that's why each and every day in my life, you know, I use to take an opportunity to make excuses for somebody else. Because I see people that are mad, that are hurting or whatever. You know, I just said, well, they don't understand. They don't understand Jesus like I do. They don't understand what they got. And maybe they don't understand. Maybe they just need to get full of the Holy Ghost. Maybe that will just help them. But maybe you need to get full of the Holy Ghost so you can share it with them. Because a lot of times we just don't do that. But you know what? We have also more than love. We have peace. Remember the peace that passes all understanding? Many people don't have that same peace. Wouldn't it be awesome if everyone had that same peace? The only way for them to have that peace is to share that peace with them. So you see, you can share a piece of you with them. Your peace. You know, it doesn't matter what's going on. You know what to do. You know what to do. You know God. I mean, you know, this man here at the temple, he had no hope. He had, so that's why he lay daily at the temple asking money, because it's the only thing he knew to do. Only way to support himself. I mean, in his mind, think about this. This man never thought about actually being healed. Probably never thought about it. I mean, I'm sure he thought about it, but he never thought it would become a reality. I mean, because, you know, he just figured that this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm called. I'm called to lay before the temple daily and ask for money. But praise God that one day, two guys full of the Holy Ghost came in. Man, think about if more people full of the Holy Ghost would come in. How it could change the world. And these men, you know, something came upon them. I mean, they just had compassion on this man. They're like, this man's hurting. I tell you what, it bothers me to see people hurting. It should bother you to see people hurting. I mean, each and every day we see people hurting. And, you know, sometimes too, you know, we also need to look for people who are hurting. A lot of times, you know, at work, you know, someone you're working with, I mean, people will, I mean, they're hurting and they have clues, but sometimes we're clueless. Sometimes we don't pay attention. I mean, you know, I know online a lot of times, like, you know, you can just tell by the way they post and the way they say things that they're hurting. Sometimes people are just honest and tell you they're hurting. You know, but why can't we reach out and help them? I understand that we're busy. We're all busy. You know, you might be, you know, feel you're tired, but we're all tired. It doesn't matter. Anyway, you're the guy that always says we're not moved by what we feel. You know, because people have real needs. People in this world have real needs. You know, and I know you have needs. I have needs too. But the thing is I've already prayed. I've already cast my cares upon the Lord. I've already gave him my issues. See, the thing is, if you know what the word says, the word says not to have any anxiety, but by prayer and supplication, let him know what you need. And then once you do that, the peace of God will, the path of all understanding will overtake you, because, the reason you have peace is because you're not worried about it anymore, because you've given it to God. If you're still worried about it, you hadn't given it to God, so that's a kind of a clue. Either quit worrying, and give it to God, or just do something else. But because I know that my needs are met, I'm not worried about my needs anymore. I'm not concerned about them. And if you're still concerned about your own needs, that's why you can't help anybody else. You have a problem. Your problem is you don't know the answer. The answer being Jesus Christ. You don't even know what you have. Now, I know what I have, and that's why I also have the Bible. How many times you've heard my grandfather says, God said it, I believe, and it settles it. But you have to know God said it, you have to be able to read the word. And I have the word, I've read the word, Old Testament and New Testament, both. I know what God's word says. And I'm going to say it again, I said it at camp meeting, I've said it many times, is, my grandfather said the number one reason why people do not get their needs met is they don't know what the word of God says. You can't be a doer of the word if you don't know what the word of God says. Read the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You have to continually hear the word of God to be a doer of the word of God. I think that some people are continually forgetting about the word of God because they continue not to hear the word of God. Now, obviously, I'm probably speaking to the choir, because you guys, a lot of you are here at camp meeting or here a good portion of it, and you read the word or whatever, but then, there's one thing of reading the word, another thing of being a doer of God's word. A lot of times we read and we read and we read, but we never do. It's like reading a do-it-yourself, manual and never doing it yourself. It's like, hey, you have this certain project you're going to do, and you watch all the TV shows where they do this renovation, and you read books and you sit around, and 5 years later nothing's been done, but you're still reading the books and you're watching the. I know a lot of people, who watch a lot of home improvement TV shows. Anyone that watch those on the Home and Garden Channel or Discovery Channel or whatever, and these Home and Garden things and. And all these do-it-yourself things, and you're, just because you watched it didn't mean you did it. I know a lot of people watch it and never do it themselves. In fact, if they want to get it done, they hire somebody else to do it for them. That way I do that because that way it gets done right. But I'm not a do-it-yourself person. I'm going to let somebody else do it. That's how I am. But I don't watch those shows either. Now, I will say this. This is a side journey, and this is not... A lot of times when you watch those shows and you do it yourself, it ends up costing more money than if you would have paid somebody else to do it after you mess up 3 or 4 times by extra material. Not just time, but sometimes time and money and material and whatever. I've that's why I usually don't do it myself. If I want it done, let's get someone to do it. Right. That way I don't have a crooked fountain in my backyard or something like that, But, that's the Leaning Tower of Craig. That's what happens when you have a do-it-yourself fountain kit. So, anyway, I don't have a fountain in my backyard that I produced or anything, because I know that would happen. But, if you have something on the inside, shouldn't you give it out? Shouldn't you give it out? Shouldn't you share it? Whenever if you had kids, you probably taught your kids how to share. You need to share with your brother or whatever. Well, we should be able to share what's on the inside of us. If we're really filled with the Holy Ghost, sometimes I get frustrated because I see people run and shout and dance in church, and when they're not in church, they're griping and complaining, and they're not sharing about how good God is. So some, you know, church isn't a show. It's not a show. You know, when we come and get filled up, and nothing wrong, get filled up, nothing wrong with running and shouting and dancing, but if you're going to run and shout and dance and that's all you're going to do, then I'd rather you stay home. Because the reason they get filled up is so you can go out to the world and share Jesus with the lost and dying and hurting world. It's so people like this, this man who never could walk, can start walking again, or walking for the first time. You know, and that was a sign and a wonder to people. You know, they said healing is the dinner bell. I mean, because people saw this man walking and know that he can't walk, physically impossible. But, you know, the things that are possible to man are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. Only believe. All things are possible to them that can believe. You know, it's not that hard. There's nothing we have to do. Peter and John did nothing, but they just shared Jesus. See, Jesus has the hard part. I mean, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. And in fact, you know, a lot of you said you read Acts. If you continue to read Acts, you'll find out that, you know, after they shared about Jesus, they put him in jail. Then they let him go, and they went back to their own company, and they begin to pray for more boldness. To go out and preach regardless. Anyone read that in your Bible? If you keep on reading Acts 3 and Acts 4, it talks about, you know, they went to their own company. Brother Hagin talked about it all, you know, many times. Said you know, when you know what to do, you come back to your own company, and you refire, and you get more boldness, and you go back out. You know, it's not that hard. It's not hard to share Jesus. It's not hard to share the love of Jesus. It's not hard to share, you know, the healing power of Jesus. It's not hard to share the peace of God. It's all on the inside of you. Love, joy, health, peace. He has made the mind. That's a song. You can even, you know, sing songs about Jesus. What you have on the inside. I mean, we should be sharing with people all the time. And I don't mean you have to preach people a sermon. You realize it didn't say that Peter and John begin to preach this man a sermon. And then they said, be healed. You know, you don't have to hear a sermon to be healed. You know? And you know what? Probably, maybe the best thing for a lot of you is to shut up and do what Peter and John said, or what they did. You know, sometimes we need to learn by example. They just looked, what Peter said is he said, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. He gave a command. He didn't preach a sermon. See, he knew the power of the name of Jesus. He knew how powerful that name was. Now, many of you probably, you know, don't notice because you don't always take notice, but majority of time, unless the Lord leads me in something else, if I'm praying for the sick, I always say in the name of Jesus. That's all I do. Usually at that point in time, the power of God hits them, and they go, why? Because there's power in the name. There's power in the name. In the name of Jesus. And there's, sometimes when you don't have anything else, they'll say in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And when you do, things change. See, you have to understand, you're not doing anything. Peter and John weren't doing anything but just sharing Jesus, sharing his name, sharing his goodness, sharing what he's done. And it's all about Jesus. Now you know, that's, you know, really, it's tough as a minister. I don't even like taking credit for anything because it's never me. It's not me. I didn't do anything. All I did was lay my hands on you. All I did was speak to you. All I did was read what the Bible says. Majority of my sermons, except for my jokes and stuff like that, are just the Bible. It's just Bible and some funny things. And most of the funny things aren't really planned. I don't sit around and write things out and say, I'm just going to say this or say that. It just comes to me. Sometimes I shouldn't say it. Sometimes I should. Sometimes I don't know if I should or shouldn't, but it's okay. God forgives me anyhow. I'm just kind of transparent, so when it comes to my mind, I always say it. Sometimes I probably should keep my mouth shut, but it's just the way I do, you know. But the thing about it is, if you got something on the inside, you should give it to people. And if you're really giving, you know, giving life 110%, if you're really sharing, so everything that I have, I want to make sure that everybody else has too. And like I said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Man, I love people. I love the world. It doesn't matter if people are sinners. It doesn't matter if people are hurting. You know, I still love them. Hurting people say hurtful things. You know, and a lot of times people will say hurtful things toward you. You know, but the Bible says, don't beat them up. It says pray for them. It says pray for them. You know, and you know, there's also another scripture that says, you who are spirit shall restore them. You know, the funny part about it is, so that means the people that won't restore your brother or sister in Christ Jesus are not spiritual. It's a real test how, you know, how unspiritual people are. So, you know, I guess you could use that next time on Facebook when someone's making fun of somebody and, you know, whatever, say, well, I guess you're not spiritual. Well, if you're not, you're sure not being a doer of the word. So, and I know it's mean, but it's true. It's what the word says. It says, be spiritual. It says, so basically what it is it's spiritual to forgive people. How many times? Well, Jesus already took care of that. 70 times 7. So just might as well forget about, you know, quit counting. You know, and just say, you know what? Father, forgive them. I use Jesus' words. Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. That's the words of Jesus. That's what he did on the cross. When people, you know, he said, they don't know what they're doing. You know, and, you know, mine can say they're a little crazy, whatever you want to say. You know, they don't know. Just forgive them. Touch them. Bless them. And mean that. Mean it. You know, and give them what you got. Give people what you have. I'm sure, I mean, think about, put yourself in this man's shoes every day. I mean, you know, think how humbling. First of all, he had to be carried to the temple every day. Every day someone had to carry him. Hopefully it wasn't a big guy like me because, you know, it would probably take two or three people to carry him. You know, every day he had to be carried there and carried home. Had a little money that, you know, the people that felt sorry for him gave him. You know, and I guess the reason that he got him before they went in the offering, you know, in the temple was because they might give an offering and not have it out, you know, way out. Got to get him going in. Of course, people there said, well, I was going to give an offering day, but I gave it to the guy outside. You know, every day he laid there, day in and day out. But praise God, one day that two men full of the Holy Ghost came in just to pray. Just to pray. And when they saw this man and he asked him for money, you know, sometimes, you know, whenever you give people something or you're not even looking, you just like, I mean, I'm dropping their bowl or a lot of times you don't, but Peter looked at him face to face. They locked eyes, and all of a sudden, I believe what really happened was the compassion of Jesus came upon Peter. And he's thinking to himself, man, I wish I could help that man. And all of a sudden, he remembered that what was on the inside of him was the healing power of Jesus. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in him. That's what the Bible says. Now, see, you know, you've read that scripture many times, but it goes on to say it will quicken your mortal body. So most people read that scripture and says, praise God, the Spirit of God's going to wake me up, going to keep me awake. Well, it's more than that. It does more than quicken you. Know, he was raised from the dead. What is that? That's a miracle. The miracle working power of God dwells in you. The miracle-working power of God dwells in you. You have to understand that on the inside of you is a miracle. On the inside of everybody is a miracle. Because on the inside of everyone that's a born-again Christian, everyone that's saved, because the Spirit of God's on the inside. And so when he began to look at this man, compassion came upon him. And he said, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And he took him by the hand, he lifted him up. I mean, you know, it takes a lot of faith, a lot of boldness to do that. But he knew it wasn't about him, it was about Jesus. He knew it was about Jesus. He was just giving him what he got. So what do you have? And what are you going to do with it? Are you going to hide it under a bushel? No, we're going to let it shine. It's like I said in the children's church. Don't keep what you got to yourself. Don't be selfish with the things of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person here this morning and each and every person watching us online. But Father God, we thank you to help us to have boldness to share the love of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying and hurting world. Father, we thank you to help us have more compassion upon people. Help us to, when we see people hurting, to say, you know what? I can't physically do anything about it, but I know somebody who can, and his name is Jesus. Father God, we just thank you for just giving us strength and helping us, just giving us compassion, that same compassion that Jesus Christ had. But Father, we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they'll make him Lord and Savior this morning. Maybe here this morning you say, Craig, I hear you and I see this, but I don't know Jesus. So I don't have anything. If you want to have something this morning, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure that you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your life. If you're here this morning and want to be saved, lift your hand. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, man, one time I was kind of like Peter and John. I was full of the Holy Ghost. I was full of Jesus. But I've kind of turned my back and I went away. This morning, I want to rededicate myself to God. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. If you're here and you said you want to rededicate yourself to God, you want to rededicate yourself to God. You want to pray a rededication prayer. Lift your hand. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I'm saved. I'm a child of God, but I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, like it says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. And I want to be this morning. If you've never filled with the Holy Spirit, raise your hand. We want to pray with you. We don't want you to be left. There's a hand over there. Thank you. Anybody else want to join this one and says, I've never been filled with the Spirit, like they were in Acts 2. I've never been filled, but I want to fill. There's another hand. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Let's all stand up. If you lifted your hand for prayer on any invitation or should have lifted your hand, I want you to come down here. Just come down here and we want to pray with you. If you lift your hand for prayer or didn't lift your hand and should have, come on down. You know? Amen. Hallelujah. Altar's still open if anybody else wants to come down and join this gentleman. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. 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 Praise God. Anybody else want to come down? Amen. Well, if you came down for salvation or for the Holy Spirit, which I know the gentleman did, they're gifts. They belong to you. They're just simply gifts. All you have to do to take a gift is just take them. You know, if I said I want to give you these books, how do you get these books? How do you get them? Just reach out, take them. You'll get some too back there. All right. Amen. So I'm just going to pray for you real quickly here and they're going to take you and they're going to pray more and tell you what you, make sure you know what you got. They're going to give you some directions to use what you got. You know, it's one thing to have them, another thing not to, you know, know what to do. So just lift your hands toward the Lord, both hands. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for forgiving them for their sins. We thank you, Father, for filling them with the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Father, for the power of God upon them, Father. We thank you for refiring them, refreshing them, refilling them. And we thank you, Father, for just touching their lives like never before. We thank you for everything you're doing in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you go here with Brother Greg, and he's going to give you some more books and talk to you a little bit. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's sing something.
For the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Light a flame in my soul for every eye to see. For the sake of the world.